You must then decide, because there's a lot more, whether to start with cash or the iPad. Okay. Continue.
We were asked to present a progress report on the budget on APAC. I'm not so focused on the first slide. We just give the acronyms that we used in the presentation. And then there's information on the background slide, slide 3, and I've already spoken to that. The importance on page 4 is that APAC is modeled on the Industrial Policy Action Plan, the IPAC. And what we have done is that it comprises, we call it key action programs and key transversal action programs. And these action programs, I will talk, I'll tell you now how this is based on certain commodities, and the transversal theme are those ones that will spread across all of the commodities. I will show a slide on that now. And what we what APAC is about this paradigm shift of driving agriculture as an export-led import replacement strategy. Now we've not talked about agriculture like that before. And it provides for a long-term vision for 5 years, and will be updated annually. And then the nine-point plan that the president announced. Priority number one is the revitalization of agriculture and agro-processing value chain, which and APAC is the programmatic response to it. And APAC no longer belongs to us. APAC belongs to all of the economic cluster departments. So rural development comes here, they will talk to you about APAC as well. If the GTI comes, they will talk to you about APAC as well. So we're showing there in that slide just the linkages around this column here on the left are the commodities. These are the commodities that we are focusing on in the, on the first few years. The value chain of red meat, poultry, sugar, wine, fruits and vegetables, which is the most labor intensive of all of the commodities. And then the revitalization that the president announced, that has got its own value priority. It talks about agri parks, the land that we need to support those, the producers, what, how do we support the farmers, the producers in that area, what is the research that must underpin it, what is the actual production that is needed, the spatial planning and market access. So that is the kind of planning that we need. It is all linked to the NDP. I won't slide 6. I won't go into all of that information, but if APAC is the plan to take us there, to take us to that place, and we'll therefore see a difference between these targets and what we have in our business plan, because we can only spend, as I said earlier, in our plan what we have the budget for. But these targets, it is for the entire sector. The collection of the commodities, honourable members will remember this slide from the NDP, the NDP winners. They looked at various commodities and they were in quadrant there, quadrant 2 above, are those commodities that are that high labour absorptability and that are high demand and high growth and high demand. Economic growth. So many of, most of our, so you can see, it's fruits and vegetables that's in that quadrant. So it's also taken a selection, we sure that is what informed it. So the next slide, we then use the NDP targets, the contribution to food security, to job creation, growth potential, and so that we also begin to make a change, the trade balance, we've selected these commodities, so you will see the questions that we asked about fisheries, so it's aquaculture and smallholder fishes in particular that we will monitor through APAP as well. We're also saying that we've got to localize food networks. We can't have exported growth only at the cost of food, so local food security. So Sekatlala is one of our cross-cutting ventures, climate smart agriculture. How do you do those interventions that take account of the fact that we are a fire-prone country and a water-scarce country, and how do we engage in agricultural practices so to ensure that we leave the land in a better state than we found it? Trade and business support, biosecurity issues, CIP 11 is a strategic integrated project. How do we make sure that the malls and the silos, etc., are closer to where people are, talks about research and innovation. So the committee asked us to... I don't have the other slides, but I've also had the issue of the... you have been actually presented to the committee before, the next committee. We presented it in this way because the committee asked for a progress report. So what you will see is what some of in each of the value chains in poultry, what some of the unfunded interventions are, the budget and the funded interventions. Let me just talk to it. I'm going to ask my colleague to explain why we just did it in this way.
The invitation of the gym specifically speaks to the presenting the budget of APAP and progress report. So we haven't focused on the general explanation and format of APAP, which is probably an omission. Now that I see that there's a need for it, but I would rather to speak what was requested than to put in extra slides. But if the deed allows me, I will. We could quickly show a slide on to illustrate.
To illustrate, in each of these commodities, we are saying we've done the research to say what is the problem statement. So, for example, we are able to say with poultry, between 2009 and 2012, white meat consumption increased by 34%. That consumption is set to increase in the same way over the next number of years. The production has not kept up with the demand, and therefore the demand for white meat is largely provided through imports and cheap imports from somewhere else. So therefore we see it as an opportunity to grow our local industry. And so, but we're also saying that you can't just increase the number of hatcheries and the number of batteries, etc., without looking at, because 60% of the input costs for poultry farmers is feed. Chickens eat this little thing called soya oil cake. And although we have ramped up our production of the soya oil cake, that is imported mainly. So therefore you will see here, and then the soya bean grading regulations to align with industry requirements. Together with ramping up poultry production, we are going to, by 2019, we plan to put 238,000 hectares of land under soya cultivation, because there's a soya bean crushing plant in Cradock, built by IDC, and that is not operating at optimum capacity. So if you're able to increase the local production of soya bean, we can have local soya oil, can therefore reduce the input cost. and we ramp up all that production, we can stop the Americans where they are now pushing for a goer to come and put, they want to come and put the hundreds of the imports. Our total imports of poultry is about 157,000. America wants us to do a goer, they say they want to, they want to give us 145,000 tons. And we cannot have that because it comes from all over. So that is the kind of analysis. My colleague will just put in a slide. So we then asked, provinces to say where, which places in the province which locations in the province is geared for that. Now there are some provinces where we have made some investments. In Limpopo, where we have made several investments. Okay, don't repeat what I should need to show some of the planning. There's a detail on them.
Okay. And so what we've done for each of the commodities known as the sectorial key action program is that we've created a problem statement. What's important to note about the problem statement is that it attempts to analyze the value chain in a way that identifies how does the state intervene or support the value chain to unblock the potential of that value chain. So it's not a business approach to say, where do we make the most money? But it is to say, how does government support and where does government need to intervene to unlock the potential of the poultry industry? And so that's the kind of analysis. And we've been partnering with the Bureau for Food and Agricultural Policies, BFAP, to assist us in deepening our analysis both for 15-16 and going forward for 16-17. So this is just to illustrate the kind of challenges that we face in terms of high input costs, speaking to the increasing price in fertilizer, fuel, and animal feed, which makes a specific argument for poultry to say that while production is important, intervening in the animal feed industry is probably going to unlock the potential of poultry and red meat a lot more than I want to give another example, but the intention is to showcase the strategic intent. And in the following slides, it showcases actions that are at a high level on how do we support each commodity. And not to go through each, but what we were able to do is partner with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform to say, how does the acquisition of the 360,000 hectares mentioned in their strategic plan speaks to the commodities in APAC? And how does AgriParks also then add agro-processing value to the commodities in APAC? And therefore, the DG spoken of the linkages between the focus areas of the SONA and the revitalization of the agricultural value chain and the commodities. And so we see those AgriParks land reform all speaking to commodities. It won't be 100% black and white alignment, but there will be strategic alignment through APAC. Let me continue. Okay. And so each of these commodities, what we've also done is, we are improving in our capacity to analyze, is to say if the strategy is to improve animal feed within the poultry to unblock it, then what would be our aspiration? So each of these commodities and transversals have aspirations or expected outcomes. And so for poultry, we have expectation or projecting that we would be able to add 14,000 jobs to the current 107,000 direct and indirect through increased tonnage of 663,000 poultry production by 2019. We could potentially add 14,000 jobs with the expansion of 238,000 hectares of soybean production, and we could increase contribution to the value of agriculture GDP from 32.9 billion to 41.13. And so without going into all the detail, we can now see that what APAC seeks to do is in partnership with Rural Development, DTI, and EDD, is to have a stronger economic strategy for agriculture in response to the million job target that was set by the NDP. We are not going to do that by counting the number of projects that we have. We can have a million projects but we won't be able to create the million jobs. And so we're really seeking an economic response to job creation than the literal response of how many jobs each and every project is going to create. And so by maybe intervening in the fertilizer industry or the animal feed industry, we could have high impact in industries that we've identified and high growth potential or important for food security. And but that in essence, just with the one example, is the intent of APAC. What this is an outdated slide, but what we have done is that we've taken all the projects funded by Kaufman and Lima Letsema, and we've divided them by commodity. And so we now know how many projects is speaking to poultry. We don't only know the number of projects, but we also know the nature of the intervention, primarily focused on each of those projects. So we know how many projects is on-farm infrastructure focused, how many projects is production focused, how many projects is off-farm infrastructure or training, etc., etc. It's work in progress. It's not there exactly. Also, we want rural development to do a similar analysis of their projects to say, of the 360,000 hectares that you're aiming to procure, how many of those are going to be earmarked for which commodities, so that we can project the state contribution to growth and also be able to say the potential jobs created through land acquisition. And so we still await on that information. But as far as that is concerned, we have pushed the provinces really hard to start rethinking how they plan and select the projects. And like the DG was saying, it's not just an array of thousands of projects, one speaking to fencing, the other one speaking to a borehole, the other one speaking to something different. And so over a period of 2 years, we've been almost harassing heads of departments to rethink their approach to the selection of projects. We're not completely there, but I think we see APAP as a rolling strategy with room for improvement, and hopefully in the end we will have something similar to IFAP in terms of strategy and approach.
Thank you, Lorena. Chairperson, thank you for that indulgence. I thought that to appreciate this, so we've got this level of detail. Just go back to the presentation. We've got this level of detail for each of the commodities, for fruit, for red meat, etc., etc.
Thank you. So then this summary here comes from that. So out of that work that we've done, so in the book, the APAP document which just the committee got, there will be work on each of those commodities. It says this is what is funded and this is what is unfunded. Again, we're focusing here on those things that we should do as government to create an enabling environment for it to thrive. So we have about 50% of the budget for APAC, the others we do not have. That's the total budget that is needed according to our estimates right now, I must say, Chairperson. The total budget, what is funded? If you haven't added the two together. So the total together is, what's that, Jacob? Is that in the region of 54 billion?
Is it about 54 billion?
So we have about 19, we have.
Yeah, it was about 19.
Billion. We have about 19 billion, and it doesn't just come from us, is it? It's just our budget.
It's both a grant fund, that budget, and private sector partnership investment.
Okay. So, and we, in a way, we're a little bit nervous about it. It probably says in the first year we are not going to achieve what we thought we would. But I believe, Chair, that if we've got to begin to show and create confidence and show to everybody that agriculture can be this growth sector, and the others will come on board. I think, Chair, in relation to that first question that you asked this morning, why was the budget up? We have to put a plan forward to Treasury. This kind of plan in terms of
if this is what we need to do, this is the investment we've got to do in poultry, and if we do this, this will happen, that is what treasury can fund. And because agriculture has not engaged with the fiscus, with others, in as an enabler of an economic growth, I think we were also not taken seriously. So the next few slides is just, there was a progress report, as my colleague said, it is work in progress. So there's a whole lot of work that we're doing right now on spatial planning, where we want to be able to have a live database. So if our minister sits and he's going to visit a particular area, he must be able to, with a click or with a push of a button, be able to see what is happening or if somebody calls him. A stakeholder communication strategy. Actually, that's probably something that this committee could be assisting us with, because we are asking for a paradigm shift. I mean, some of the things, and I think we must be quite bold about. We've been talking about farmer support, and a lot of the way in which we've been providing the farmer support has not been enabling. You know, I tease sometimes and I say, we bring the pharmacists, sorry, he's all stupid, we bring in somebody to plow for them and somebody to plant for them and somebody to harvest them, then we say we empower farmers. And we know that those are some of the things that is happening at the implementation level. And we really have to think about that differently. We also say that we've got to think about new entrants, some of those young people, Chairperson, and I'm sure that you've experienced them, who come out of universities and come out and it's a graduate from commerce and a graduate from engineering and a graduate from science, and they sit together over a beer and they put this wonderful idea together and they Google and they do whatever. They want to enter differently. They're not entering the space because their fathers or were farmers, but it's a business idea and it's innovative and we must be able to embrace that. The institutional arrangements, we can go over that. I think we work, that is something that is being strengthened. As my colleague said, we're working with rural development, constantly co-driving with rural development, the next one. I've talked about the listing of all of the projects. So right now we just have rural development and our own projects. We need to get land bank on board on that also. She's spoken about land acquisition and also started speaking about SIP 11. Because SIP 11 talks about agri, logistics and rural infrastructure. But actually, no new money. There's no money by any other department, even though EDD oversees it. It's our money and it's rural development's money. But no new money has gone towards that. So it's about mobilizing some of that. There's a training component and the research component. Go to the next slide. So market access is a huge component of this. I just want to say something about this agricultural good practices. And comment earlier when the honourable member said that 18 members is nothing. You know, the South African GAP Good Practices Certificate is an absolutely important one. That's the certificate that says this product can be bought. We started a pilot last year with 100 farmers. And one of our entities, the Perishable Products Control Board, Exports Control Board. And they're the ones who certify all of the exports. They took our farmers through this. And they then found that in reality, our farmers generally far from being gap ready. There were so many things that needed to happen on their farms. It's about being able to trace the seeds. It's being able to access this in different places. And it's about how they run their agricultural practice before their farmers at the end can get that set. And there's only 18, I think 25, I think, of those, 25% of them who we think will be able to get through in that this year. So let's go through that. There's a funding model I've made reference to. We want to more effectively apply the available budget. We also believe that there's secondary funding around. Something that we have to drive in the department chairperson is to reclaim our mandate. Everybody does agriculture. It can't be.
you know. I think everybody does food gardens, and you can't go and buy seed packets, mackerel, and give it to everybody. The same for the seed packs. Because different commodities grow thrive well in different areas. And then there's also a lot of external funding. But I must say about that, I said earlier, so the MSEP fund, the Manufacturing Competitiveness Economic Program from DTI, they have said most of their funding goes for agro-processing. And they are willing to say that if we can show you, I hope Alda will show you the poultry, where the poultry projects are concentrated in Gauteng and where they are concentrated in the Free State. And if we put all of that together, what we need is an abattoir that has the capacity to slaughter so many and package so many. DTI will instead be able to fund that kind of thing. But we must get, as agriculture, we must put those plans on the table. It begins to change the role of a national department from only putting a policy on the ground, how do we enable that policy, but also enable that kind of funding. And there are also other funding that is available. The important one at the end check is what we are able to say, if we take all of those value chains together and we get it right, we said, this is what APAC will be able to do. These could be the targets of slide 22 on the revitalization of the agriculture and agro-processing value chain. We will increase the number. In 2012, there were 164,000 smallholders. We will increase the number of smallholders to 400,000 and 500. We could increase the value of agriculture from 42 billion in 2012 to 48 billion in 2019. We could increase the value of sector exports from an average of 5.1 billion to 5.8 billion. We could decrease the value of that graph that Rowena showed you, value of fertilizer machinery exports, imports, decrease the imports from 9.6 billion to 4.7 billion. We could reduce the number of households experiencing hunger, sometimes, often, or always, from 10% to 8%, and it would increase the number of jobs in the sector from 660,000 to 622,500. So that is where we are moving to. So Chair, what we will, my suggestion is that we go straight into CAS. But what you will see in the CAS planning, how we try to link the CAS, is that your last slide?
Yeah.
How we have tried to link the CAS planning to the intention of ADP.
Shall we?
Yeah. Transferring officer for CAS.
As I've been in social spending, I'm actually wishing that we could have more time to share the whole plan that DJ has explained, but what is going to be shown to you is really responding to a number of questions that were asked us in terms of providing you the information within CASH tab, or we have put in acronyms to help you, because when the DG looked at our presentation, just had a number of acronyms which we had to explain. The People's CASH, as we all know, CASH was actually established or created by the department to really respond on the gap that was created where the Agriculture Trade Board was closed out, wherein the previously disadvantaged farmers were actually totally excluded from any supports that existed, and they were now owning land and having the interest to farm. So the program is really to provide the effective support that is for this target group of farmers who were beneficiaries of land reform, but it does not exclude any farmer who is black and has privately acquired the land and is involved in the aging enterprises. We also have a budget which is cut, I must say, is a Schedule 4 grant. A Schedule 4 grant is aimed at supplementing the equitable share of provinces. Ilimalisema is a conditional grant. It's a Schedule 5 grant, which means it's meant for specific projects or services. It's a purpose-driven grant. Our purpose with Ilimalisema was really to respond to the question that Honourable Member asked around the identified underutilized land. How then do you put it under production? We had to get this amount of money to increase production for food security in the sector. And by and large, the Ilimalisema respond to food production. We also use Ilimalisema to unlock agricultural potential within an area, in areas where irrigation schemes are present and they need rehabilitation. So this is the money that we use to revitalize irrigation schemes. So it may not necessarily have been reflected in the plan of DAF, but it is allocated through Ilimalisema, and three provinces at this point in time are revitalizing the irrigation scheme. We're still working in Palhart, we are still working in Makatini, and we are still working in Taung. Just as a response to the chair's question, there's about 40.8 million in this current financial year, which is geared to irrigation schemes. We can actually provide the detail when requested to do so. The other presentation has actually indicated to you what aspirations DAF must lead and respond to, but added to that, which informs our development of the ARAP, was that agriculture has been seen as a change agent in creating the jobs that are required, and the NDP has seen that we can contribute at least a million jobs throughout the value chain from agriculture. We are expected to put at least a million hectares of land under production. I must be quick to say that, as DG has indicated, you have seen a target in our plan of about 120,000 hectares. Ideally, if we were to meet a million hectares, we should be having 400,000 hectares under production for the coming 5 years for us to be able to meet the million target. So we know clearly that if government has to do this alone, we will definitely not meet the million hectares, and it's only a resource or even in terms of finance. We have a mandate through the new growth path to be supporting about 300,000 smallholders. And the point that was made here is very true. There is currently only 67,000 white collar farmers that are providing food for the country. So we are really being food secured by a few number of farmers. Yet we are sleeping with a multitude of farmers within the smallholder and subsistence that are supposed to be about 2.4 million. So there's an opportunity for Africa and South Africa to feed itself. So our role is to provide the requisite support to these farmers to be able to provide the food that we provide. And one thing that we have done in the work that the DG has made is also to create and clean out the myth that when you speak commercial, you speak white, because we do have black commercial. So with the norms and standards, we are wanting the country to be understanding that we are all farmers, black and white. You can be subsistence, smallholder and commercial. And our drive is to increase the numbers of blacks that will be in the commercial space as well. We have a mandate as well to expand the land under irrigation by 500,000 come 2030. And of course, as you know, our constitutional mandate is food security. To ensure that food security, we need to use our natural resources sustainably and also grow the GDP. We had guiding principles, Chair, which we had given to provinces when they planned what projects to support, but primarily to their guiding principles is to follow the principles that have been outlined in the APAP document which you have seen. The process for the business plan development starts very, very early because these farmers are identified in provinces. So between April and June, the selection is happening at a local level. Around June and July, local people or teams and extension officers will have identified and worked on projects that are ready for support. A decision is taken at the district level on which farmers should be recommended for support. The national, the provincial department will then, using the resources available in their hand, decide on which projects to support and put forward as a plan to national for us to be able to fund that. And as indicated, the APAP documents became the guiding principle for the 15-16 business plan. I'm going to push forward on this. This is really a slide that tells you that the process that I have just followed, and we are guided by the Division of Revenue in administering the grant. When we receive the business plan, we are expected to formulate a committee, which we call a national assessment panel, is appointed formally by the Director General, and we bring in a host of expertise within the panel, because cash support, if we talk comprehensive support, we finance market access, we finance training of farmers, we finance inputs, we finance infrastructure. We are having money that is ring-fenced for agricultural colleges, and in 2012 we started receiving money for the rehabilitation of land that is damaged by disaster. So a team of expertise sits around the table to evaluate the plans. And in this financial year, we had a decentralized NEP session, which DG forced that we have to have inclusive consultation with provinces for them to understand the vision that we are driving as DAF. Slide 11 is really just showing you the allocation per province. A total budget within CASP of 1.6 billion has been allocated, and as I indicated, there's money allocated for project support, which is 1.1 billion of the total amount. There's money ring fence for extension support, which is 343 million. There's money ring fence for colleges, which is 69 million. We wanted to revitalize this college of agriculture because this is where the resource and the training for our farmers and extension and diplomas is coming from. And then, of course, 58 million is referenced for disaster. The only provinces who are being assisted with the disasters that have been approved through COFTA processes is in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and the Western Cape for the 2015-16 financial year. And you can see the allocation per province of cash. And of Ilemani Sima, as I indicated, we only have 470 million within the state, and the allocation was put accordingly. As DG indicated, Ilemani Sima received about 11% cut of the budget. We expected to have more money in 15-16, but we received the cut. But what is good to learn is that although the budget of DAF was cut, largely affected was the ARC, has received an additional 270 million from National Treasury for the next coming financial year, which says to us they now understand that we have a responsibility to develop and grow agriculture. But the debate must still continue around the allocation of budget to DAF, which we have acknowledged, and we will be making a presentation to the Technical Committee on Finance this coming Friday. The committee wanted to know about FEFA-TALA and the budget that is allocated to FEFA-TALA. If you understand and remember, in the previous administration, 70% of CASP was diverted towards FEFA-TALA. Now with the APAP mandate and the drive and the impression within the NDP in terms of the growth, the stimulation of growth within agricultural sector that we need to do, only 20% of the CASP budget was allocated towards FEFA-TALA. The rest is focusing on APAP, driving the APAP strategy. And even as I indicated, we'll focus largely also on food production. What you would see also here is that the actual budget for cropping, you would be expecting 470. Food production, food is not only about cropping. There are provinces like your Northern Cape who are largely livestock. So the Gimalizima would support livestock production, she sells also food. But this is the budget only that is ring-fenced for crop. The total form of around cropping, which is the Tatala, will be 678 million. And what this slide is also showing you is that there are provinces that have put off their own budget, and only Eastern Cape, Limpopo, Mpumalanga have put in their own money to support the production or cropping. The total budget for Ipatala is about 887 million. What we have shown you here really is just to support the statement that was made by Rowena when she was talking about the ACAP commodities and the choice of projects that have been supported. ACAP decided or guided on which communities to support, given the argument that they did, saying, and we are able to tell you how many hectares will be coming from where of what. And as DG has indicated, we are beginning to understand the areas and have verifiable evidence of the work that is being done by provinces. This is really just an interest for you to note that although there's a lot of talk around APAP, the bulk of the funding that we are having in our hands will largely still support maize production, about 82% of it. The committee wanted to know around market support, the budget from ourselves that goes for marketing. A total of 151 million would be refunded around supporting farmers for market access. As it did has indicated, if you see in our business plan, the 16 are the ones that will be ready in terms of SA gap. Now, we had an impact study done. 84% of the total farmers that were supported, it was a sample of about 151, and 84% of them are accessing markets already. But there's now this notion of formal and informal markets. So only 18% is accessing formal markets. So we need to do more for us to have the rest accessing formal markets, and that's the way that we would be doing. Part of the analysis done is, do you have the right soft issues will be, as D has indicated, bookkeeping, record keeping, all those other things, chemical mixing and so on. Hard issues will be the infrastructure. So currently CAP is making sure that the farmers have the requisite infrastructure for market to enable them to qualify and be correctly certified. And you have seen the allocation there with province. With infrastructure support, this is the total amount that will go. It's inclusive of the infrastructure for markets, 746 million. And what we have just highlighted today is the type of infrastructure that the farmers will be receiving in this coming financial year. This was just to support the statement that DG has made. We are beginning to understand where production is happening because we have done special analysis. So in an instance where we plot your project and we find out that you are supporting a commodity where it's not commonly or naturally gone, then we know you're just wasting our money. So that guides the provinces as well to do their own work, and I'm happy to say to the committee, provinces have done a lot of good work in this space. This was just ready to share. We do look at the value we get from the investment we make. Putting up a sharing shed argument sake might be seen as a simple exercise, but for those local mothers in Eastern Cape, it meant a lot, because when we looked and analyzed their income, we realized that they are now getting 35 rand per kilogram when they were getting 5 rand per kilogram. There's a lot of opportunity. We are working with our marketing team. They actually think can increase the 35 rand per kilogram and make it more. They can even earn 200, because now they're cleaning. Agro-processing infrastructure for cleaning the wool, you know, that work can be done. They are creating jobs at local level, and you are creating more money in the pocket of these ladies who are working in this area. And that's basically responding to that. I must just say, Chair, this is doomed at responding to the questions that were asked. If you need more detail around the broader plan, that also can be provided. Thank you.
Just go to the five commodities, commodities. And just make
another link, that one, a linkage share, how we create markets. If you look at beans, we are busy with the conversation with Tiger Brands. and they manufacture the cool baked beans and store it in everybody's kitchen. And we're told that 15% of the beans that they need for the production of that product comes from smallholder, or 15% of producers are smallholder farmers. But only 3% of the beans come from smallholders. Just makes the point of the level of production of performance. Otherwise, that's the we have to ramp up. A few days ago in Chicory, it's a high-value project, very, very high-value project for Nestle, for many of their products, you can imagine, for the coffees and all of those projects. And so you can see there's nothing happening right now. They say 80% of their chicory they import from India. Somehow, and they've already done a study and the area in Vienna, etc., in KZN, is a place which is conducive to Vienna escort, which is also near to their other plant. So we're finding ways of how do we target project is on the province radar, but how do we begin to target and hone in so that cash begins to optimize that opportunity? So I think that makes a view, have the conversation there, yeah, and we try and bring the province on board.
Thank you very much for the last two presentations. As you can see now, numbers of our honorable members now decreasing and decreasing. I would rather be left alone here. Like the minister there in the church was saying, at a door said, no, where are the people? Are we only alone? No, I'm actually not with you. I'm just waiting for you to close the store. Honorable members, can we maybe take some questions or maybe some proposal or Honorable Khai.
Oh, thank you very much, Honorable Chairman. Yeah, I'm a bit embarrassed here. But 80% of members are not here. We were earlier complaining that the 3 hours is not enough. We need 2 days to deal with the strategic plans and APPs and other briefings by the department. Some members are unable to live in those 3 hours, how much more if we had 2 days. Really, it's an embarrassment, something that we need to follow up within the internal structures of Parliament, because this is not the first time, not necessarily this particular department, but I know in another committees. There was one time I was only left with the chairperson, just the two of us. In fact, I even had the scheduled interview at that time with the radio station. I had to just ignore their calls because I couldn't just leave the chairperson alone with the department. It was actually the Department of Communication. Very embarrassed. Now this thing is also repeating. In fact, that was my last meeting. And now this is my first meeting since then. Same thing is happening. It's so to do with my preference. So I was not here. I was booked off shift like last week. So I was not here. Yeah, but I wanted to, because also the same people that were opposed to send their written questions to the department are now not here to ask their questions yet. So I want to go back to my initial suggestion, which was opposed earlier, that we submit written questions to the department on the two presentations, the APAP and the CASP, so that we also give the opportunity to members even those who are not here to send the question. I know that some of the excuses will be that we have a plenary this afternoon on the budget vote of human settlement. Some of the members are on the speaker's list. They are making final touches to their speeches. But it's not an excuse, but it's just something that I'm aware of. So I think we should also apologize to the department for this situation, because we complain when the minister is not here, they send the official, sometimes even complain when the DG SF is not here, we send DGs. But now, ourselves as members, we're not doing our household work properly. So, I wanted to ask some questions myself, particularly on the APA, because I'm very impressed with this APA. I wanted to ask questions that relate also to SLIP 11, because I know SLIP 11 was before the APA itself, and they wanted to see how they fit in, and also the fact that there's a lot of about 80% of the budget that goes to SLIP 11. And the little that goes into the other, I mean, about 13 projects. But I will have to ask my question together with other questions in writing to them. I'm not saying it should respond now. It's just a point that I'm raising the response. And the fact that the DG was indicating that there is no new money, that is also worrisome. And also the clear role of other departments, particularly Department of Rural Development, is no clear role. I know, for example, Department of Rural Development is involved on ag parks. How does those, how do those ag parks fit in within the APAP? You know, if those, but I'm just highlighting the issues, some of the issues I would like to raise and get responses on. Including the questions that we'll be making with regard to the presentation that we made. But also going back, Chair, I was not satisfied with the fact that I raised my hand when you said the mistake for body bank. I was not satisfied with the fact that we are not unable to monitor what is happening in the province, because as members of parliament, we rely on you to know what is happening in the provinces. There should be some mechanism. I know you're talking about this concurrency, you know, issue, but there should be some mechanism of knowing exactly if you the money that you disperse as head office, you must be able to follow the money that you disperse to the provinces and know, because we won't be able as members of parliament, you know, even though in terms of our program, we have oversight visits and see where these projects are, you know, and see whether they are really doing what they're supposed to be doing. But the problem is that we won't have capacity in these 4 years left now to hold that. And therefore, we rely on you. I'm not sure whether you do have your own necessary provincial offices, your own offices in the provinces. So, you know, some of the departments, for example, DMR, I know it's a national competence. It will list in their strategy plan offices, head office, and then list in each province where their offices are. And I'm not sure whether then the DAF has its own offices or it just relies on the provincial offices out of the MECs, you know. So that you are able then to send those officials who are in those offices to go and say whether those projects really exist. You know, in one of the debate votes last year, the Minister of Public Works, Comrade Tulas Nesi, was indicating that he, though he was, you know, raising this as a joke, he said if they go to the province, then officials would say, you know, this project is but it's fine, but it's dangerous. You won't be able to go and see the trailer exits. You know, if you go to Hansard, you'll hear what they were saying in those budget votes. So the point is important. You know, imagine that is a minister. And how much more for us is we would be unable to even go and check where this is. In fact, I took an initiative myself. Of, as I come from the Eastern Cape. took an initiative in the Tech Parliament to the people. I asked JJ, because I wanted to know where all these DAF projects are in the province. I asked her to check for me where the process, because I want to take an initiative when we are in the constituency period, so that I can visit all these projects myself in the province. Even though it took some time for them to get cooperation, particularly from the department, I don't know which department they were thinking with, whether they yeah. It just sent me this morning, or if not yesterday, the response. I have not been able to open my emails to check where these projects are. Because I wanted to do exactly the same, so that if they say there's this particular, say what I mentioned, Masbambar, I must be able to, because it is in my provinces where I'm reporting. I want to go and see where this Masbambar sharing project is. You know. So I expect that, because I won't be able to visit all of them, but I will rely on the department to visit all of them. And therefore, they report to us when we have these kind of meetings. But I'm still worried that there's no mechanism of getting a report or even visit these projects by the department itself in the provinces. And therefore, for me, that response is not acceptable.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khai. That's a very good input that we are needing. When we introduce ourselves, we made very clear that we are all representing provinces. I also happened to visit a district, but I was dealing with the question of the DLC, which is the district land committees. They've now added the R there and call it the District Land Reform Committees. I visited the Department of Land Reform and Rural Development. Let me just cite an example. Okay. When they made presentation, it was reflected that these committees have already been established. So in a district, I went there requesting a database of if they exist, where are those people, are there any contact number available, because we are dealing with critical issue of land, and there is no way that we can now be talking of agriculture, forestry and fishery. That's something, the activity somewhere in a vacuum, and they are interrelated and interconnected. So going also to the point that we are making, we are talking of the CCS here, the Compulsory Community Services, and the Extension Officers. Where do you pass, alluded by members of the community that we don't see these people. They're only wearing suit in the offices. As farmers, we expect to see them also taking their hands, okay, by assisting. Okay. So the department should indeed also be able to say, bring to the CS and the extension officers, per province, per district, will be having this pool in accessible by members of the community. Okay. Here are the contact numbers, the databases available. Okay. Also, we need to deal with the 130 veterans. We should say of that 130, what is the allocations per province, and how are they going to be accessible to the farmers? Because the role that they are playing will be very, very important. Okay. And it should also be equally be the competency and the responsibility of the department, not just leaving it to the competency of the province. Because the province will also throw it to the district municipality. District municipality will say, no, this local municipality is also not competent. So, I agree with Honorable Khai what he was saying. Okay. Let me maybe check with honorable members that are here to throw some questions or suggestions that are having. And having edge. Because we are, at the end of the day, going to debate the budget vote and make some recommendations where there are gaps, where we really feel that as a select committee, we should throw our way behind you. But we need all the information that can assist us. We must give us some ammunition. So that is why we are still here until the last bullet. Honorable Singh, Honorable Masango.
Jay, no, I don't have any questions immediately, but I'll put it in writing.
Chairperson, I would like to agree with what Honorable Hai said, because while I do have questions, but I also am acutely aware of the fact that we need to be at another meeting before the plenary this afternoon, so I wouldn't want to waste the time. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Gigi, would be...
Chair, I just want to give a short response on the monitoring. I think that historically, not only us, I think the whole of government focused on how much money was spent, transferred so much money, how much money was spent. And more that has been part of the paradigm shift. Spent on what? Where is the evidence? Or we used to talk about give farmers support. And we start asking the question, what is support? Where is the evidence? So we can't sit here and pretend that we are there 100%, but we also don't want to leave the committee with the sense that there is no monetary. Yet it is not possible, and it shouldn't be necessary, for a national official to go to each of the 16,000 projects. We have made available through this CAF money over the years, this tablet technology. Wonderful stuff, you know. So the extension officer goes to a place, he or she clicks on the tablet and it records and shows where everything. They're using that technology to very, very good effect in one of the provinces. And provinces that, where a farmer can call, they will log it, a text message will go to the person's cell phone and say there's a call to check your emails. And they can, electronically, they can manage the exact information. But that technology is not used effectively in all of the places. So what you have started with is saying, what are your issues, provinces, what are your standard operating procedures? How do you monitor your performance? HRDs could say to me, this is what happens. Blah, blah, blah. Then comes the initial report, the preliminary input. Then there's the preliminary information, then there's a team in that HOD's office that goes and verifies. And once that person is verified, that evidence gets stored there in the strong room until the AG comes and then he signs off. So if I understand the SOPs, I might be able to sign, but in addition, because we have some agricultural offices, because not all of the agriculture functions are concurrent. Some of the functions around Mr. Mania, some of the animal health functions and some of the regulatory functions are not concurrent. So, for example, we have about 27 ports of entry where there are inspectors, etc., and those are national people and it's not provincial people. So We have employed 25 staff members who are some based in the provinces, and we've linked them up and made them part of the National Transferring Officer's task, a team, in order to go and do some of that verification. And as we go further, we will be strengthening that. But for now, that is an accounting office. The interesting thing is, at least four of the three provinces
of agriculture and rural development in the last financial year got an unqualified audit report. They could prove to the AG in their province that they were able to do it. And therefore, the information is there. The evidence is there. And surely I must be able to rely on that. So I think it is... So I just want to give it that it's not that we're throwing it to the wall. And in terms of extensions, there's a model that we have, and we can actually show you. If you go online, there's a program called Extension Suite online, where you can put in your coordinates, and you will get the name and contact details of the extension officer for every area and every district. So, I thought I must just respond to that.
Well, thank you very much, DG.
No, that's difficult because I'm not going to respond to the issues that the DG hear the response. But that's on the, I want to know something else. I don't want to raise it after you close. So I want to raise it now. That perhaps the DG or the government should consider with regard to the planning phase, starting from May, find a phase where we could be involved and as in the portfolio committee of the NA. I'm going to say I was not in government previously, but I was a board member of a government entity. What we used to do as a board, we used to invite the portfolio committee in the province a particular phase of a planning process so that they could also make inputs. So it makes it easier than when you appear before the portfolio committee, in this case the committee, because you have also been part of a, I know there could be argument of these roles of oversight and also there could be, but we could find a way of ensuring that we don't cross the line. But in that situation, what we also did was we started with the overview where the members also made input. And then when we broke we had commissions and we had members participating in the commission of the programs. Program one, then you have members of the legislature being in program one, others, and then we come together with the board members and have report. If you could consider that, perhaps, I'm not saying from the initial stage, but to anything that is now you've done your role, but then at this particular stage, thing that you could invite, make it easier so that some of these questions are already dealt with at that level. I wanted to suggest that discussion is
before close, let me check if DG, do you still have something to say, because we are now about to wrap up.
Welcoming the session, it's always very exhilarating, because I think honorable members come at it from a different position that's in our blind side. So it gives a different perspective. And again, that we need to pay more attention to how we do our presentations. And I think of necessity, the strategic plan and the APP talks to our role as national departments. And I trust that the APAC, which is and CASP in particular, the grants, which is 58% of our budget, begins to show how, the kind of information that members were looking for, because that is really how the conditional grant is. So maybe we must help the Secretariat the next time in how we structure the agenda, for example. I mean, there's probably too many things on the agenda today to do justice to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks, the department, honorable members, supporting staff. We'll adjourn the meeting, but we request before adjourning that the honorable members sit at least stay for another 2 minutes, because we have agreed that we'll be looking at our business, particularly the first item in our agenda. Okay. Thank you very much, the department. Honorable members, I've got some few apologies for members who were here, who went to attend the other activities. So what we'll do, I would request you to look at that item one, but I will, due to the apologies written of the members that have been here, whether we can adopt these minutes. Okay. Honorable Singh, propose adoption.
I move. Okay.
Second, move. Thank you very much. Honorable Masango moved. Now, there's a report, let me read it to you. Report of Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources on the budget vote and annual performance plan 2015-2016 of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fishery. Budget vote 2-4, dated 12 May 2015. The Committee on Land and Mineral Resources, have you considered budget vote 24 and annual performance plan 2015-2016? Of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fishery reports that the committee has concluded its deliberations thereon. Is there any proposal and of
Chair, what we suggested that the minutes be deferred when we got a full complement of members, because there might be some corrections that might be needed by other members who are not here. But the report can be adopted because that's necessary.
So without you, did you have moved to that and then some, okay? No,
thank you.
Second and then
that. And Joseph, so I know that there is a structure of a chairperson. I take it that even this morning there was a chairperson forum, if I'm not mistaken, according to the program. I would like you in that meeting just to raise the issue of members not sitting out the duration of a meeting. This could be happening also in other committees other than I know when we met as a communication and public enterprises meeting, the same thing happened where it was just myself and the chairperson. So if this thing goes, it's an embarrassment, you know, particularly when you have the full complement of department, they are only addressing two or three people. You know. So I would like to suggest that you should raise this. If a date has, for a meeting, has, a committee meeting has been set, we should commit ourselves to the full duration of the meeting. We should not make other commitments. We should dedicate ourselves to committee meetings. We know every Tuesday are committee meetings of land and mineral resources, and therefore we should not have other activities. Meetings start from 10 to 1. You can excuse a person then after 1, because our meetings are scheduled between 10 and 1. Nobody should be allowed to leave between 10 and 1. So I wanted to suggest that you raise it in the chairperson's committee. But as a whip, I will also take this matter up with the chief whip. Yeah, thank you very much.
Important point, Nate. Thank you very much. The meeting is now adjourned.